What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of Pillows and Beer. I'm Craig, here with my best bud, Austin. And we are still here somehow, and we are having a blast with y'all. We're only here because of our listeners, and we are so excited to continue this. I think I mapped out on my phone when our 100th episode would be if I was being way too ambitious, which Austin's laughing at me right now. We want to do a quick recap of the last few weeks because we got a little out of order with pushing last week's episode till this week because of that incredible interview with the one and only Spencer Pratt. I mean, that was fantastic, and he really set the bar high with that one. But we've been up here in the north for the last few weeks, and we want to run it back. So, Austin, what's awesome is that I get to prove lots of points to you while doing this podcast now, because who knew so many people had the exact same drink order as me. I've never received so many positive messages. I mean, I knew it was weird, but I was okay with it. But I didn't realize that there's a lot of other multi-beverage orderers out there.
And guess what, Craig? I didn't either. I thought that I was kind of like exposing the side of, not exposing, but you know, I thought that people kind of, you know, commiserate and be like, yeah, that's so weird. But no, people have been reaching out like crazy and saying, no, I also order this, 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 and that. And I have 4 beverages sitting in front of me at all times.
But
and
are I'm you, blown away. Are you a milk drinker?
No, not since, you know, junior high.
See, I'm a huge milk drinker. So I didn't realize that this was weird until I saw the meme that said, imagine dating someone just to find out that they casually walk by the fridge and have a glass of milk at any time during the day.
Okay, well, a cold, refreshing glass of milk is just fine.
I drank it with every meal
I am way
growing up or dinner growing up, and it's just stuck with me. And I
did
still
too, I feel like, but now that, you know, I'm grown, I don't drink milk.
I think it's weird that we're the only animal in the world that drinks other species milk, which does kind of freak me out, but whatever. I'm a milk drinker. I'm a 33-year-old man that drinks milk with dinner.
Okay. But how would you expect like a cow to like drink another species milk, Craig?
How would you expect? That's true.
Like a marsupial. I don't know why I said, you know, marsupial, but
marsupial
like,
how
would you expect a kangaroo to drink cow's milk? Like they're not going to go and suck on a cow's teeth.
I mean, but they could if they were as weird as us. So yes, that came to mind. Speaking of comments and messages that we get, we have been getting a lot of people asking us to talk more about Southern Charm or questions about Southern Charm. What's really cool is this isn't a Southern Charm podcast. This is a Craig and Austin and everything that you don't get to see on Southern Charm podcast. So sometimes we might clear some things up, but we really aren't going to. And so this is about the other part of our life that you don't get to see. So we appreciate all the questions and messages, but we're not going to answer questions about Southern Charm, but we will answer questions about pretty much anything else.
Right. And sometimes I think that we'll have on a familiar face or a familiar, you know, voice, I guess, because it's a podcast. And you'll get to, you know, hear from them and hear how we interact, but once again, outside the realm of the show that Craig and I are on. So
yeah. And so
another recap or two before we move on from Outback. Let's see. People really, really commiserated and understood the ordering of all of the apps. And now we have the ordering of all the drinks and the ordering of all the apps. And a lot of people are like, yes, I am such an app person. And I didn't realize that people will substitute apps for dinner. And that's what you do. Like, you will order a bunch of apps so you don't have to order dinner.
That's true. I mean, not for that purpose.
I mean, but we kind of just did that. We kind of just did that.
Yeah, Austin and I are quarantining, and we went to the hotel bar, and we just ordered a bunch of apps. And
Craig
the bartender
loves to toe the line.
Yeah, I like to toe that line. But the bartender said, you know what, before, because I was like, how's the shepherd's pie? And he was like, before I answer that, just see how you feel after the 7 fucking apps that you just ordered.
He was like, the shepherd's pie is kind of full of itself and kind of an asshole. But I'm sure you'll really like it.
But the app order is great. And it's funny because I talked to my parents about it. I had a great childhood growing up and I was very fortunate, but it was reasonable. And I messed with my mom a lot because I did have a bowl cut younger. And I'm like, mom, this is where my vanity
issues come from. But
also I always wanted a quarter for the gum machine or toy machine in the grocery store. And I love you, Mom, but I feel like she was like, you don't need a piece of gum. I have a piece of gum in my purse. It was about being wasteful. She was just like, you don't need a quarter right now. And I think
so now that you're out from under your mother's thumb, you like to order everything.
I think my spending habits come from being told no as a child, which was fine. Because I, one day we'll talk about our first cars and I have an incredible story about that.
Oh, I have a good one too.
I have an incredible story. So I don't know where my spending habits come from, but yes, I like to have a little bit of everything.
I find it funny that when we ordered, I was like, Craig, that's too much. And I made you unorder one thing when I should have made you unorder about three things. Okay. Lastly, unless there's something that is pressing your mind.
I think we're just recapping last week because it was such a great
fun time. Like got a lot of funny things about people being like, yes, Austin, I totally agree with you. And I did it for shock value, but now that so many people have kind of like agreed with me, I am now in total agreement that Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man.
No, he's not. I don't know who messaged you that, but listen, that's stupid.
Listen. Whether they did or didn't, maybe I'm baiting you again just to fire you up. But that happened. Tobey Maguire was mentioned as being the GOAT of Spider-Man's. And
why? Why would he be the greatest? Like, then why isn't he still Spider-Man then?
So
ignoring all contractual issues and everything else that goes into casting someone. If he was so great, why is he? Why doesn't Iron Man like him? Iron Man. Never
see my face as I'm like baited once again. Craig triggered that Tobey Maguire is the GOAT.
Iron Man doesn't like Tobey Maguire, so that's I'm gonna take true. His word for it. Also, we love this more than or just as much, if not more than you guys. We have a blast doing this and we love connecting. I cannot believe the engagement that we get from this podcast. You know, Southern Charm is filmed for a couple months a year and then it's on and we really don't get to interact with y'all as much as we do now. And this is a blast and we don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
Which is why it's really cool to get tagged in things or to talk to someone who's like, hey, big fan of the podcast. I'm like, nice. It's kind of like turned a corner from rather than like big fan of the show, big fan of the podcast. Interesting, Craig. Interesting. We're growing. We're evolving. We're moving.
I love
it. We're one with the universe. We are, you know, my chi is at an all-time high. It's amazing. Okay. The jingle. Sorry. So every episode, Craig and I kind of like, you know, take over who's, you know, leading the topics and et cetera, et cetera. This is my week. And the jingle, we talked about the jingle last week. So
I actually got a lot of responses, which was great. So far they've been lyrical responses, which like the people... You guys have sent us ideas of what we should say or what we should have someone sing, but that's great and it's fun to read, but it's not really what we were looking for.
Yeah, honestly, we don't care if it's recorded on your phone or if it's professionally done. We just kind of think it's fun for fan engagement and we've definitely had people that have reached out and been like, oh my gosh, I have this great one. And someone just reached out to me, someone back in Charleston, and they were like, I had this amazing one. And I was like, okay, let's hear it. And they're like, no, I have to do it in person. I was like, okay. So, but there have been a couple of people that have, you know, recorded and it's a lot of fun. And let's just say that we're honing in on what it is that, you know, we want. And we think it's really fun because I can't wait until I hear that, like, you know, whatever it is, that opening 5 to 8 seconds.
I got one. Of like, you want to hear it?
Sure. Well, wait, did someone send this to you? Or mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
And we'll play it. And whether we go with it or not, at least we get to hear it. I love the effort, but it didn't resonate with me. But here's our first submission.
I have one too, actually.
So this is by John Links. His handle is... John, J-O-H-N, Links, L-Y-N-X, Music on Instagram. And this is his podcast. Let's see what you think. Or this is his jingle. Let's see what he thinks. Maybe if we do some voiceover here and say, this is Craig. This is awesome. Yeah,
welcome to episode 5 of Pillows and Beer.
To the tropics. I mean, I feel like this song matches the picture that he was using.
Okay, hold on. John Links.
John Links.
If you can see me, I'm like,
yeah, awesome.
Using my microphone as like a drum kit.
I mean, it sounds good. Like, it's on the right track.
Yeah.
But maybe we need audio. All right.
Oh, no. I think this is cool.
We need, I think Nick thinks we need audio. Oh, I like the end.
Too.
Welcome back to Pillows and Beer.
We are on episode 6.
So that's good. You know, okay, John week. Links, that was good. I think we can work with you on that.
Can you pull it together, please?
Yeah, I need to. All right, I'm here. I'm here.
Can you take a sip of your beverage?
Which one, the beer or the wine?
Both. There you go. So we're in quarantine, and you would think that it's boring.
Austin Craig. And I in quarantine are anything but boring.
I know. Craig, we entertain ourselves in the weirdest and funniest of ways. And last night, in my opinion, was a total testament to that. Okay.
We got hammered.
Well, yeah, it was night one, and we all of a sudden found ourselves at, like, you know, 4 a.m. and we have our headphones on and our podcast stuff on. And
yeah,
and Craig's pacing around the room, which is really funny because we'll release that at one point
as like a special episode. But Austin was telling me about the holy grail of beers that we found at the gas station.
Right. Well, which once again, you'll totally get the full rundown. But
well, 4 a.m. comes and there's a knock on the door. And we had been hearing this annoying noise going off in the hallway for a while.
Craig, why did we get so drunk on night one?
And we open the door and there's a man standing there being like, why are you guys not outside? And we're like, because we don't want to go outside and it's cold. And he's like,
it was 9 degrees.
The building is on fire and the fire alarm is going off. And we're like, wait a minute. You don't work for the hotel, do you? And he's like, no, you idiot, but you need to get out of the hotel now. And we're like, we caught you. You're here. And he's like, shut up and come with me. And so we make it downstairs and we get to the emergency exit and we see everyone else standing outside in the snow. And Austin's like, I'm not going out there.
No way. Okay. This is also an amazing story of embellishing Craig. I love it, and I love it, and I'm here for it.
That
Craig,
all of that happened.
No, it didn't.
And then you
it
fell asleep happen. On the None floor of, in the hallway.
That didn't happen.
He's the one that knocked that, on our door.
No, it literally did not happen.
Yes, Craig. It did. No, and then it Austin didn't. Fell asleep Craig, in the hallway.
Craig is that guy that thinks that the CIA is after him. He thinks that someone's trying to poison him.
They're not after me. We've worked together.
Yeah, exactly.
They need my help one day. They just don't know it yet.
The CIA also orders 3 or 4.
Well, that did happen. And so we got to the emergency exit.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen. I opened the door and I was like, sir, what's going on? Like, do we actually have to, you know, I mean, knowing full well that, you know, we should because the freaking alarm's going off. And he was like, hey. And then he was like, wait a minute. Are you guys? And I was like, he don't even know who we are.
He definitely didn't ask who yes, we are. He's here to babysit us.
Craig, this is not going to make
any my noise. Story is way matter. Better.
No, your story is stupid. Okay, so what happened? Fabricated.
We got to the door. It was snowing, and Austin lay down in the hallway and said, "Unless this building falls on me, I'm not going outside." And he fell asleep in the hallway.
That is factual.
While I proceeded to talk this man's ear off for the next 2 hours.
And y'all, if you're riding an Uber, you know, with Craig, or like you're with someone, like. Craig just starts telling them facts that people don't ask for. Like, they don't ask for this information. Craig just gives it up.
I just like good conversation. Like
but it's not good conversation. Strangers. It's just you talking.
They think that I care about them and they feel good in that moment.
Or maybe they're like, this person's crazy. So I literally lie down in the hallway and because it was 4 a.m.
Because the fire trucks were there. We weren't allowed to go back to our room.
Yeah.
But
and I was like, I'm not going outside. They were like, it's in the teens.
You need to at least stay right next to this emergency exit. So yeah, that happened on our very first night.
Okay, but before that happened, we had a lot of funny things kind of going on. Do you remember what was going on?
I remember we plugged in our equipment and just talked for an hour.
Okay, yeah.
Which
okay,
Nick okay. doesn't even know about okay. yet. And so we were going to send him this audio file of us just rambling about okay. beer.
So what happened was, let's see.
I have no idea where you're
okay.
going with this.
Okay, we turned on the TV and Old School was playing. Right. And we were like, yeah, let's put on Old School. You know, it's always like a good, it's one of those movies. Like you just forget how fantastic it is. And maybe I'm blowing smoke, but it's just like everything is quotable. It's so funny. So we put it on, but we put it like on mute, you know, but even when you put on a movie like that on mute, you know exactly what's going on. You know exactly what's happening. You know exactly what he's saying. And so in my, like, you know, Craig was pacing around and I'm like, you know, watching, you know, this movie at the corner well, of my head, kind of laughing my ass off.
We have a 20-foot cord on one of the mics. And so I just I walked back and forth. I probably walked a mile.
Craig was pacing. Yeah. He walked a mile. Right. And so this kind of, you know, sparked kind of everything for us, because in my opinion, it was like, okay, this is funny. We're going to put out some funny content. So Craig started talking about, I don't know how, but for you, dude, when we talk about movies, it always goes to one movie. It always goes to one movie. You can't help yourself, but you always bring this movie up. And it's so funny. It's been brought up in conversation with you and I no less than 15 times.
And you know
what movie that is, right?
I remember how it started is because I told you that I had just seen Notting Hill for the first time. And I told Austin this, and he was like, what? Or like, you know, normal reaction to not seeing this. I have no idea how I've never seen this, but I haven't.
Nick, this will be funny. Craig, who stars in Notting Hill? Name the two actors. Go.
I hate being put on the spot. It's the guy from The Holiday.
No. Oh, right. Yeah.
The guy from The Holiday.
Not The Holiday. It's Love Actually.
Cusack. John Cusack?
Wrong.
It is. I have a head injury.
Who is the female actress?
Her name is Julia Roberts.
Correct.
But the guy's name will come to me. But anyway, so I saw this movie.
Let you marinate on that.
What are you just going to ruin the fucking Notting Hill? So I watched this movie because Natalie tells me, she's like, well, you've seen Notting Hill, right? I'm like, no. And it's just one of those answers that you want to receive, because when you have a movie that great and you get to watch it with someone that hasn't seen it, she's like, okay, we're watching this.
And by the way, y'all, I woke up, you know, the next day or whatever, and I woke up with a text from Craig at like 12:30 at night, and he goes, I watched Notting Hill. You know, there was no backstory, no anything. And he goes, I finally watched Notting Hill. And he spelled Notting Hill like, you know, tying a knot.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know how to spell it at all. But Austin goes, so, and I was like, it's in my top five.
Right. So I was like,
I will watch this over and over and over from now on. I don't know how I'd never seen it, because I don't like watching older movies. I just don't. And not as that older. I just, there's something about watching a movie that was released prior to 5 years from today that I just don't like.
No, there's something kind of fantastic about it. It's like, look at Hugh Grant's hairstyle.
That's what I said.
You know, look at those big ass British
middle part.
Like, he is so British, owns a bookshop, of course.
See, do you see yourself in the movie though when you watch it? Because you know that I just put myself in these movies and I'm like, oh my god,
brushes back
his
hair and he's like, oh, I'm Hugh Grant and my business is failing.
All right, so everyone that messaged me to watch Notting Hill, I didn't know what that meant until I watched it. Now you all are correct. That's in my top five favorite movies now. Well, at least top three favorite rom-coms. Who knows favorite movies? And so I started to tell Austin this, and he can continue where...
That was a bold statement, Craig. That's a bold statement to say it's...
I'm still on my high of watching Notting Hill for the first time.
So then people who are keeping score, a.k.a. Nick, I think that you should make a list of like, okay, you guys...
Movies that Craig says is in his top five.
Yeah, yeah.
And totally. There's 18 of them in the top five.
Exactly. Craig's top five consists of 26 movies. that's a factual statement. And Nick... now has brought out a pen and he's like, okay, I think that Austin's on.
Well, we have The Holiday and we have Notting Hill, and The Proposal was just on in the hotel room, and Proposal is one of my favorite movies. Love it. I love it. I just watched the scene when she dances with Betty White. Betty White is amazing.
Nick, don't even write that down. That's an insult to rom-coms everywhere.
Dude, when she gets to the town in Alaska and everything's named after him and she's just like, holy shit, who are you? And he's like, oh yeah, we own this town. This is a dream.
Do you want to know what this kind of parlays perfectly into? Because this is what I have written down. Okay. This is what I have written down. Craig's favorite movie. Okay. The movie that he always talks about. He's always like Peanut Butter Falcon, right?
Love Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah.
Love Peanut Butter Falcon.
Nick, put it down. Put it down.
Oh, yeah.
That's Craig's number one. That's
top Craig's. Top three. I'm not going to give it a number, but that's top three.
Top three that he has. Okay.
Peanut Butter Falcon is amazing. And
okay.
I have a ton of history with this movie and me on airplanes. This is my airplane watch after. Holy,
Craig, I really do not want to interrupt you. I just don't want to lose my. Okay.
Okay. You go. You go.
I don't want to lose my train of thought. Okay. But I do want you to intro why you love it so much.
Well, no, you start it because I forgot about this. This is funny.
I won't lose my train of thought.
Just go.
I won't.
Just go.
Okay. Because we were just talking about The Proposal, it kind of makes it funny to me that I was about to go into Peanut Butter Falcon before you just jumped into Notting Hill and The Proposal. And I think the reason that I love that I really like Peanut Butter Falcon is because I'm actually a major fan of Shia LaBeouf.
Which is just absurd.
Why?
Absurd.
Why?
It's just not someone that you would be a fan of until you watch Peanut Butter Falcon. I mean, Transformers was cool because Megan Fox.
No. It has nothing to do with Transformers. But
Transformers, Shia LaBeouf is cool.
And Andrew Stevens?
I don't even know what that is. That sounds like some weird Disney show.
Totally. That's exactly
because
what it is.
That's yeah.
And his sister Ren, I had a major crush on. Okay. He was the original.
How do you even say the name?
Ren?
Is it Shiloh or Shia?
Shia.
Okay, fine. Good. Shia Buff?
Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, I'm not going to say that.
He's French.
But
I think
after Peanut Butter Falcon, love him. I want to be best friends with him.
So
it takes one movie to do that to you.
Sure. Sure. And someone gives a great performance like Shia.
Incredible performance. I can't wait to tell you all about my feelings about Peanut Butter Falcon.
Okay. So what I just wanted to say is that Ryan Reynolds, right? He's so typecast as this one person, right? He's this like handsome, you know, quick talking, quippy little, and it's always just like, so like, it's the same character in every single movie. Like, that's why I never really got into Deadpool, because it's the same thing as ever the movie's ever done, which is just
yeah, but do you not
so
like
fast
him?
And so quippy. And so this, and it's like, yes, you are so handsome. And we understand, you know, we understand.
Yeah. But do you like that
but
character?
That's
that
why
he plays?
Shia is so much more relatable, because he is that same person where he does that same performance and he's so quippy and he's so quick and he's so quick on his feet, but like, he's more relatable. And that's, and Holes, you ever seen Holes? Shit, man.
Okay, I don't know where you're going with that.
I'm gonna call you Zero.
What's your point? Also,
I'm gonna call you Zero because I got nothing going on.
I like the character that Ryan Reynolds plays. I do like his character, even if
it's the same person in every movie.
But since I like him, it's great because I get to watch the character I like in every single movie.
Yeah, you say that like that's a bad thing, Austin. That's a great role.
Yeah.
What is the role exactly?
Like, we're not, I'm not watching a movie to judge this guy by his acting prowess. I want to escape into the movie.
Escape this.
I don't want to escape this. I'm going to force you to listen to
me
talk about
Craig my middle
Peanut Butter Falcon. So I was on a plane and I put this movie on and I wasn't a Shia LaBeouf fan. Shia LaBeouf. And I actually, Shia, by the off chance that you ever hear this, I have the most respect for you.
Now I'm kind of nervous that Ryan Reynolds is going to hear
this. Yeah, well, you're screwed. Ryan Reynolds hates you already.
He's not, because we're peasants in his world.
Actually, I'm not trying to say your name wrong. I just don't know how to say it.
Well, I told you four times. Just say Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Okay, cool. Shia LaBeouf. So I don't usually like watching his movies because I feel like he's a little more indie or dark shit or whatever, other than Transformers. So I just didn't want to watch that movie. And I ran out of movies that year that I was flying so much, and which Delta, shout out to you guys, favorite airline, and I'm platinum with you. I'm almost diamond now.
Ooh, so, we're trying to do a little Outback thing going
I want
here.
Delta. Delta is my, I have such a weird passion for flying Delta that I hate every other. Well, I don't hate every other airline. It just, I'm comfortable flying Delta. So,
you and I both love Delta.
Yeah. So I've watched pretty much every movie that they had on
Delta,
there.
Yeah, Delta.
So I had seen everything. So I finally watched Peanut Butter Falcon, and I had been upgraded because Delta is awesome. And so I was sitting up front, and there was probably a 65-year-old lady next to me. And I think I was coming back from Mexico or somewhere that I had drank a lot. And so I was just in rough shape. And I'm watching Peanut Butter Falcon, and I am bawling my eyes out. Like, my emotional state was already not good, but I am on a roller coaster and I'm happy and I'm sad. And then it gets to the end of the movie, and I won't give any more spoilers because I know I gave a spoiler or two last Christmas. So I won't give you a spoiler, but I have actual tears running down my face. I am bawling. And then I'm smiling and laughing. And I just remember looking over at this lady, because I feel like when you sit up front, you don't really talk to each other. But I looked over at her because she clearly could see that I was a wreck. And I was like, you got to watch this movie. And she's like, okay. And then she watched it. Anyway, Peanut Butter Falcon's awesome. Austin, one question. What's rule number one?
Party.
That's not rule number one. Rule number one is don't slow me down. He's like, what's rule number one? He's like, you're the boss. He's like, no. And then by the end of the movie, it's like, what's rule number one? He goes, party. And I mean, it's just the most wholesome, awesome, that also, I don't give a shit about acting and all of the other thing that critics do. I just don't. I don't care. I want the movie to make me happy. But critics will like this movie. Critics will love this movie. Regular people will love this movie. I don't usually agree with Rotten Tomatoes.
Who's a regular person, Craig?
I like.
Am I a regular person?
Regular people like Drumline and Step Up. Critics don't, but regular people like Drumline and Step Up.
What are you even talking about right now?
Great movies.
Why would you ever bring in Drumline to talking about Peanut Butter Falcon?
Regular people like that.
Nick, write it down. Top five movies for Craig, Drumline and fucking Step Up.
No, not top five, top 10. Those are top 10.
Oh my God.
Drumline.
Is that Nick Cannon? I hate you.
Okay. So, anyway, Nick, Peanut Butter Falcon, if you haven't watched it, watch it.
He randomly brought in one of his favorite movies, talking about crying and Peanut Butter Falcon, to Drumline and Step Up.
Because
I'm blown away.
Critics Craig will actually, everyone. So critics don't usually like movies that I like.
Okay, now.
Hold on 1 second. So they don't usually like movies that I like, but the acting in Peanut Butter Falcon is top notch. It's incredible.
Top notch.
And it's also a beautiful
girl's
film.
Name. Do you know?
No.
I don't either. I think it's Amanda Seyfried.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, I mean, 100%. No, it's not Amanda Seyfried.
Okay, well, guess what? I have a computer in front of me and I'm going to fact check.
So but it's also filmed in Savannah. And so the water looks just like Charleston. So it looks like it's in our backyard. I would be really itchy the whole time, though, because they don't have shirts on and they're like frolicking around in the sand in the tumbleweed. But we don't have tumbleweed.
Okay, so while I'm looking this up, oh, it's Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson.
It's the girl from
Shia LaBeouf.
From 50 Shades, right?
Shia LaBeouf. And no, Dakota Johnson is the girl from The Ring, isn't it?
50 Shades.
From way back when.
50 Shades.
I love you, Beth Cooper.
50 Shades.
Just throwing that out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break of episode 6 of Pillows and Beer with Craig and Austin. And then when we come back, we're going to have our interview with Jared Fried right after this commercial break.
So, Craig, on this podcast, I know that we talk about our favorite, you know, restaurants. And yes, we do love going out to restaurants and it's one of our favorite things. But more often than not, I mean, we're ordering food at home. Like when I call you, we are ordering food in and hanging out.
Well, sometimes it's just nice to eat at home. And we don't always have the most time to cook. You know, I'll get back late from sewing and you from the beer making. And I want to eat at home. I don't want to go out, but I don't feel like cooking.
And what do we use?
We use Grubhub.
The Grubhub.
And Grubhub is amazing. We can get on our phones or our computers, pick from so many local restaurants.
Everything.
It's family friendly. There's sushi. There's pizza. There's steak. Basically, Grub what you love.
So using Grubhub is just so easy. I mean, the options are endless, obviously.
It's awesome. So you can try something new. You can try a restaurant you've never been to. Maybe you can't get reservations there, or maybe you just want to lay on your couch. Couch time is amazing, and Grubhub makes couch time even better. You can stay in with your significant other. I know me and Natalie, we love eating together, and sometimes we don't want to go to a restaurant, and so we use Grubhub to order all of our favorite food around Charleston or whatever city we're in. I actually used Grubhub on Valentine's Day. It's an amazing, amazing date idea. I mean, cooking with your significant other is fun, but sometimes you get home late and you don't have time. And so we went on to Grubhub. We ordered food from our favorite restaurant. It got delivered to my door fast, fresh, and hot. So if you don't feel like cooking, or you want to try something new, or you just want to spoil yourself, go to Grubhub and order from your favorite local restaurant today.
It's time to grub what you love, folks.
Okay, what's up, everybody? We're about to have our good friend, Jared Freud. How do you say it? Freed?
Freed. Friend. You can't say good friend anymore.
I know.
Jared Freud.
Minor acquaintance.
Okay, minor acquaintance, Jared Freed. No, he's a great guy, good buddy. He's recently been featured on MTV's new series, Vidiots, as well as True TV's NFL Full Contact, MTV's Failosophy, The Today Show, NFL Network's Top 10. Gotham Comedy Live. We got to see him perform live in Charleston at Uptown Social. He's got an amazing podcast called The J Train, which we will talk about, and an awesome new stand-up comedy coming out, or stand-up feature coming out soon. Well, you tell us about that, Jared.
Yeah, I got to thank you for having me. It's great
to see you
both. It's always a pleasure. We hung out in Charleston, and like I guess my acquaintance to you guys, I'd be one of those like people in the background of Southern Charm at the party. But I wouldn't get a lower third. Like they would, I'd
like
be
a mic. Would you have a mic pack on? Would you have a Mike Pack?
No. I'm below Mike Pack. I'd be
just like, you know, pause it and you're like, that's me.
Yeah, yeah. There's me in the background. I'm at the party, yeah. But like, and I say like, oh, I know them. You can see me after the third commercial in the background. That'd be my acquaintance to you guys. But I'd
be surprised. You'd be surprised, Jared.
I mean, we had a good time. We've had some good times.
Dude, it's always fun seeing you guys. And it is, people ask me about you guys. I get asked a lot, like, what are they like? I'm like, they are just like you'd see on the show, like good dudes, fun dudes. It doesn't like, there's not, it's always nice to see like the person on the show and the person in real life. Like it connects. Like I always like that.
Totally. And what I thought was funny was that when we went on Instagram Live together, you know, back when, your fan base kind of jumped on and was like, you know, who are these guys? And our fan base was like, you know, who's this guy? And so it was totally, just like, you know, two clashing fan bases. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
You know what it was like? It was like the Southern upper class women meeting the Northeastern upper class women. you know, they're like, whoa, it was like the Jetsons meet the Flintstones. They're like, we're the same, but we're different, you know?
Same, but different.
Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of new to stand up. And when you came to Charleston, obviously I wanted to come because you're a friend and we wanted to support you. But I also recently, you know, two summers ago, got introduced to this stand up world in New York, which if you asked me what fantasy football bet I would never do, it's perform a minute of stand up because I'd be terrified.
No, man, that is like a daunting task, right? And it totally takes like a certain kind of person. And like when you get up there, like your whole persona just boom, you are like, you know, the world's greatest, you know, showman. You know, you're like, you know, Hugh Jackman.
I appreciate that. Oh my God. I mean, getting any comparison to my buddy Hugh, I mean, I'll take it. We have the same abs. I appreciate that. Stand-up is just like a different animal, but like, you know, it like there's a scene for everything in New York. Like, and if you search it out, you can find it. Like if you wanted to, like, if you were like interested in Broadway and you ask someone like, what's the bar the Broadway people go to, you could find that bar. So like stand-up has its own little, you know, ecosystem in New York. And I've been doing stand-up for about 11 years now. And what, you know, you guys saw a little bit of the material that I'm putting out a special. And basically, as you guys know, in the TV world, like it takes a lot for things to get on TV. It takes a lot. And it takes a lot for something to get on Netflix, get on Bravo, whatever it is. So I was like, you know, if I build it, they will come type of thing. And on New Year's Eve, I had this material that I've been writing since the pandemic started. And it was all about the social anxieties of 2020. All of the jokes were in the same theme of someone like screaming at you to wear a mask online while they couldn't even talk to their dad who they politically disagreed with. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, why are you yelling at me? And it's all this like moral high ground that we all kind of have tried to take or try or kind of gotten caught in. And it's like even answering the question during the pandemic, like someone going, how are you? Like it's tough to answer that question because we know people who are doing really bad because of it. We know people who are doing better because of the pandemic. Like it's, and so it's this like weird wheelhouse that I'm trying to like, I had all this material and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my own special. I'm going to invest my money.
Right.
And on New Year's,
what's it called?
It's called Socially Distanced, of course. And I taped it on New Year's Eve in Indianapolis. And basically it's 35 minutes of 2020 material. And it's going to be on YouTube for free. So anyone listening to this can go on youtube.com/JaredFreed. You can go to my social media. And all I ask of you is to watch, make a night of it, laugh, comment, like, because I need, you guys know this, like we're not in the YouTube world. Like we're more in the Instagram world where it's like fun people putting up fun pictures. The YouTube world is, I'm afraid of it a little bit because it's like all the worst commenters in the world. So I need people from here to migrate to YouTube to watch it and comment and like and be positive and have fun with it because it's generally topics that make people, you know, it's a little, it's very personal. It's very much like, again, the name is Socially Distanced, of course, because I do a whole joke about people. They have to say that about every event they go to.
Oh, so, man, Jared, You know, man, Jared came over for dinner last night. Socially distanced, of course.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not into that.
Right, right.
Well,
I'm not into that.
I talk about on the special, but what they're doing is they're assuming that you would assume the opposite, which is the worst way to think of people. Like, we are all in a pandemic. You're not better than me. I'm not better than you. So when you go, oh, I went to a barbecue, socially distanced, of course. It's like, are you afraid that I'm gonna like attack you, like as if I would go home and be like, oh.
Well, and also I hate when you have to cower to, you know, the internet, you know, warriors, the keyboard warriors, and it's like you don't owe anyone that. You don't need to put it on there just as a disclaimer. And I see a lot of my California friends doing that, and I'm just like, tell everyone to piss off.
You're totally right, and it's a moral. Everyone's trying to take the moral high ground when this is. Listen, life is tough. Life involves trying. And anytime you try, you have to make decisions. And everyone's trying. And again, I'm wearing the mask. You're wearing the mask. We're social distancing. We're doing all the human things. Most people just want to eat, sleep, and fuck. And just do that every day with enough money in their pocket to take care of their kids. Right. So, like, that's what we all – so if you live in that zone, which I think a lot of people do, the problem is the moral high ground people – The problem is the moral high ground people, they online, that's where it all lives. Like online, someone can go, I think we should stop killing the grandmas. And it's like, that's not the goal here. Like, we're like, okay, yeah, I agree with you. We should be, you know, helping old people. You know what I mean? But so that's what the whole special is. And I appreciate you guys having me on because I love talking about it.
I mean, I think it's great. And I think that in order to be a comedian, you know, you kind of have to kick some rocks around and offend, you know, some people. And that's just what happens. Yeah. To ruffle some feathers.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't go on stage to offend. I go on stage to get a laugh. That's my first goal. And it's like, and again, that's why I go on stage every night. And that's why this pandemic has been hard. Like I was performing on street corners in New York. I was performing on top of dumpsters. I was like a cat in a Disney movie. Just like I'm working on this material, just trying to figure this out. And for stand-ups, we go on stage every night to like, you know, kind of soften, you're massaging the joke into something that's fully formed that is for everyone to like see where you're coming from. That's what stand-up is. Here's what I think. See where I'm coming from.
Well, when we saw you in Charleston, I brought my girlfriend and my other buddy, and then Austin went the second night, I believe. And, you know, they didn't know what to think. I mean, they were coming as a favor to me because they're like, Craig, we don't, you know, great, your friend's in town performing. And, you know, some of the acts in the beginning were a little slow. And I was like, guys, just trust me on this one. And then you came out. And the entire energy of this roof
down the door
just changed. And my buddy Brian ended up going the second night. Natalie had a blast, and everyone was like, thank you for bringing us.
That's very cool to hear. That's like the greatest pleasure in the world. It means a lot. And it's like, again, that's my comedy is like energy, fun. Again, some of these topics are not fun for many people, but how do I make it fun? How do I talk about something that's serious to a lot of people in a fun way that people, you know, can connect with, you know? And it's like, and when you guys came out, like, again, I'm going to be back in Charleston at the end of the month doing more shows at Uptown. And nice. When I'm there, like,
socially distance, of course.
But that town is like, I understood right away why they made you, like, why you guys are on a show. Like, that town is such the combination of like fun, but like everyone kind of is a little bit connected in a certain way. Like everyone has these little tethers to one another, and it makes for like you. I get it. Plus the food, and everyone just loves to hang out and party, which is a great
people.
Yeah.
Well, how did you get started in all this? Because, I do want to ask how you got started, but doing well in 2020 is a very interesting topic. And I've been, you know, because you're exactly right. I mean, a lot of people had the worst year of their life, but then a lot of people had the best year of their life, which is crazy. And I'm excited to see how you address that because I was, you know, for a couple of weeks asking people what's something they did that they're proud of in 2020 or what's something that good that happened. And it was kind of hard to, you know, express positivity for a while.
it, you know what the hard part is? There's like this pre-approved language that the internet kind of does. Remember when like everyone decided that CrossFit sucked and then you were just allowed to make fun of CrossFit no matter what? Like, you could say the worst, most horrific things about CrossFit. No one cared. Everyone's just like, no, the internet says it's okay. Everyone who does CrossFit is a stupid fucking idiot who does keto. You know, like everyone was just on board. And it's right. Like, that's not true.
I met this girl the other day, but she does CrossFit. So yeah. I just had to drop
fuck
it.
Her.
So,
fuck her.
So she's just a loser and she, you know, flips tires every day. And everyone's like, yeah. Like everyone just goes
try to better
along.
Herself. Like, yeah, Sarah's great, girl. But she yeah, CrossFits on the weekends. So fuck yeah. That.
And it's like, listen, CrossFit is good for some. It's bad for some. The people who do it got a little carried away and posted about it every 5 seconds and fine. But the internet pre-approves language. So they did that with CrossFit. We did that with the pandemic too. Now you see like people will go like, if you were like, yeah, I'm going to go out for dinner. Who even goes out for dinner anymore? Right. You know, who even puts on pants anymore? Right. And everyone's like, oh, and it's like, you kind of have to go with the current or else you sound like a negative Nancy. If you're like, well, I put on pants and I put on the mask and I'm trying. Whoa, Jared, look at you. Somebody has enough money to try. And it's like, how do you, it is such an interesting, because I agree with everything you're saying. And I talk about on the special where it's like, you want to be respectful, but you also want to like, you know, talk with your friends. And it's like, and again, I'm in Boca Raton, Florida, which I've never sound more Jewish than when I say Boca Raton. Like I
in beautiful sunny Vista, Boca Raton, Florida.
Exactly. Del Boca Seinfeld. Vista West. Yeah. I am living in a Seinfeld episode. My parents, it is so unbelievable. Like every time I say Boca, I turn into like, I'm in Boca, you know, yeah, like I just course. Turn into.
I don't know how you could say Boca without saying it in a very like nasally kind of Boca Raton.
Hanging in Boca.
Would you be down there if it wasn't for like the?
No, I'm here because in December I was in New York and I was like, again on the topic of what we're talking about. I'm in New York. It's too cold to even go get a coffee in December. Like I like to walk and get a coffee. I think New York is like the center of walking to get a coffee. Like that's what I love to do. So I'm walking to get a coffee. I'm like, it's too cold. My parents are like, get down here. What are you doing? We have an extra bedroom. So I'm like, okay, my girlfriend and I pack up, we go. And it's like, I have now seen New York and Florida. There could not be two different, more different states on the mental spectrum than those places.
1,000%.
And to think that everyone in New York is a good person and everyone in Florida is a bad person is a crazy way to think. Like, and but you see just, you know, the atmosphere becomes you. When you see older people going inside of restaurants, you're like, well, if that older person doesn't care, you can understand why a younger person acts a little differently in Florida. When you go to New York, everyone's walking around not making eye contact. You're like, yeah, like I'm right. Right. Of like, course those York, people are going to be more careful. Of course they're going to be.
Everyone's got a place to be and you're in their way. Right. And in Florida, it's all like, ah, Jared, how you doing? You're like, I saw you yesterday, Mrs.
Yeah.
Seltzer. Like I
Mrs. Seltzer, put up your mask just for 2 seconds. She's like, oh, but I know you. You exactly. know, like,
definitely how it, you know.
So the disease is not transmit amongst the people that know each other, of course.
No, well, I mean, that's Charles.
Of course.
Charles so, yeah, we're both Jewish. So, yeah.
We're the chosen ones. We can't get this disease.
Come on. I know your cousin. You're not going to give me coronas. Like,
come
you know,
on,
like
come on.
It is.
I changed your diaper, Jared. You're not going to get COVID from me.
Exactly. And I saw at the beginning of the summer, do you remember people were like passing around pictures of people on the beach in Florida? And they were like, look at these Florida idiots. They're on top of each other, humping each other. And it's like, have you ever been to a beach before and taken a picture from the ocean up? That's called perspective. That's called like that's what it looks like when people are taking a picture with on the beach. Like, and here's the reality: we just weren't meant to be this connected. We weren't meant to be like, you know. Again, and listen, there are people that I see online that I'm like, I think they're doing it in a tone deaf way. When I see a woman going to Tulum and being like, work from home, I'm like, okay, maybe you could have not posted that one.
Right.
Like, you know, like there is a center here. And the problem with you guys are a lot like me. We're like, you know, we're nuanced. We believe in context of a situation. The problem is the nuance and the context people don't, we know it. We have, we're too busy trying to make money and trying to have fun. Right. To complain.
We just don't engage.
We give a silent thumbs up in the corner. And it's like, we're not helping in that scenario. You know?
So you don't hear our voice, really, because it's like the meme that came out yesterday. And it was like the people that comment, "I don't care" on your picture. It's like people that actually don't care just keep scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. You care the most.
Definitely. Definitely. So I think that this is a good time to kind of tell people, because Jared is passionate. Okay, Jared's passion comes in the form of yelling. Okay?
Sorry.
And so if you're sitting here and you're like, this guy is yelling, that's his thing. Okay, Jared yells.
Nick and Jerry, turn me down, please. Turn me down. I'm asking you to turn me down.
He has a live scream of The Bachelor every week, and it is hilarious.
Thank you.
If you don't know what it is, and you know, y'all should look it up. It's in his it's on his Instagram.
Jared Freed.
At Jared Freed. Yeah. And I love screaming at The Bachelor. I love screaming with you guys. This is great.
And so if like you're listening and you're like, oh my God, right. It's called passion, people. Okay. Jared's passion comes through in the form of yelling. And so he's made it a thing and his fans, you know, love it. And if y'all watch The Bachelor, then you should definitely go to his Instagram
and check it out. And it took Austin a second at first. Cause I remember when
I didn't know that was his shtick at first. And he came on and was yelling on like our Instagram live. And I was like, whoa. And Jared was that's my thing.
My good friend, one of my best friends in the world, Keith Benjamin, who owns Uptown Social. He's like, he sets us up to like go on IG Live. And I remember my girlfriend who's like, loves you both. And you guys met her at the show. And Austin, I remember I come in just like, okay, I got to come in. Just, you know, these are two dudes who like to ball bust. I'm coming in hot. Literally, I texted my girlfriend. I go, I'm going on the guys' podcast today. And she goes, okay, remember, do not yell. They're Southerners. They like to relax. I was like,
no, I love it. I love it.
They like to relax. Okay? Yeah, everything moves at a slower pace for them.
They drive around in golf carts.
Jared, okay? Yeah. Remember that.
Yeah, we ride around on golf carts.
Yeah, things are different there.
Craig wears like, you know, sandals in 30-degree weather. Yeah. It's just what he does.
You're like the fifth Jew they've met. You got to just bring it back. Just dial it back. They don't know what it's Purim right now. Just dial it back for a second.
Well, how is the Bachelor Nation right now? Because we don't keep up with it as much as we could.
It's a tough season because there's so many like extracurricular, like real life things that are getting into the show. I watch the show because I like watching the dynamic with the women. I like making fun of it. Like I have fun. That's the thing. Like you guys, that's why I enjoy you guys. Like I'm having fun with it. Like I'm taking The Bachelor. And again, like a lot of women who follow me, they're like, thank you for doing The Bachelor live stream because my boyfriend will now watch with me because you make fun of it in the way he wants to make fun of it, you know? And I once had a woman, she came to my show. She was with her boyfriend and the boyfriend was like, hey dude, I always try to make the same jokes as you. She doesn't let me, she lets you. I'm like, yeah, because I'm not trying to like,
you're like, yeah, because I'm funny.
Well, that's also, I am a professional. So I would hope I could do it a little bit better than you, but I also am not the one that she has to like sleep next to that night after I'm talking about making fart noises while one of the girls walks by. Like that's kind of what I'm there to do. But this season's been fun. It's been interesting. I think when they don't travel, it hurts the show. Like I think like part of the show is to be whisked away on this love story that goes from country to country and seeing them interact in these great locales, and they're stuck quarantined at one hotel. So it gets a little monotonous, I think.
Right. Last night I was lying around and I was watching like a bunch of you know, your videos in anticipation of talking to you today, and I was falling. I was in bed, so I can't say that. I was falling out of my chair. I didn't fall out of my bed, but I was laughing my ass off at the Double Mint. You're like, this looks like a Double Mint commercial when they're like riding bikes, you know, down the street. And it's like, we're just riding these bikes until we have sex together tonight. Double Mint gum. I was like, oh my God, this is gold. Cause it does just look like a Double Mint commercial.
They were literally dressed exactly alike. And it's like, I just keep imagining the producers and
laughing.
You guys know better than anyone. And I've been on like I've been on shows, but I don't see them the same way you do, but I know how these producers operate. The producers look at you, and you guys, I'm sure you can't agree with me, but I'll say you guys know the producers who are looking out for your best interests and the ones that want to see you trip and fall, and then they want to like play a fart noise while you fall. Like, you, there's two different types of producers, and you can tell, like, a producer looked at them dressed exactly alike and was like, oh my god, this is gonna be good.
I mean, you know, like they don't even tell them. I mean, it's really spot on, funny, because they're wearing the same thing. It's basically like the scene from Wedding Crashers, you know, where they're like, you know, going along and it's like, when the weather is fine, if your daddy's poor, then just do what you feel. Yeah. And,
yeah. Totally,
and he's like, you know, kicking like his leg out. He's like, oh, this is so fun. Wee.
It's so spectacular. And it's like, those are the moments I live for. Like, there was a scene last episode. Like, I live for the weird things that I can pick out, them dressed alike, them on bicycles, double mint commercial, then I can make fun of that they're just trying to fuck. And then there's another scene where the dad, it was hometowns, and the dad had a mixed drink, and he takes the straw, you know, the stir straw that you don't drink from.
Yeah.
He's talking to his daughter, and he just lit, all of a sudden in the frame, the cup comes up, and he sips from the stirring straw. And it's like, dude, get him out of here. Like, if my dad sipped from the stirring straw on national television, I'd be like, we got to end the show. We've embarrassed ourselves enough.
I'll go home.
I'm eliminating myself. My dad, I can't even make eye contact with him anymore.
You have disgraced the family name.
Pick up the glass and drink from the side of the glass.
That's not the drinking out of.
No, and he took it like with one finger so then I can pause the show on. Like, that's a moment that I, like, last season, this was a big thing. One of the guys took Tayshia on a New York City date, and he was like, we got to get some New York City bagels. And she's like, I'll have a blueberry bagel. And I was like, whoa, like that ended the show for me. Like, I was like, I cannot be on board with someone eating a blueberry.
What's your bagel order?
Come on. Whole wheat everything fresh out of the boiler. And I want it with
from
chive
where?
Cheese, lox, lettuce, or not lettuce, tomato, onion, capers, done.
Damn. That sounds great. They're amazing right now.
Absolute Bagel on the Upper West Side is the best bagel place in the country. I'll put it up against there's good bagels here. That was another Boca moment that made me sound so Jewish. I got in an argument in line at the bagel shop in Boca, and I was like, I can't even tell people that story. That sounds like it's made up. Like,
I got in an argument at the bagel line, with
the woman in Boca. We were arguing over who was more Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. We're sitting there just being like, no, my Haftorah at my bar mitzvah was better. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, it was really unbelievable, but that's maybe my bagel. What is your bagel order?
Oh, man. Okay. There's this place in Washington Square Park.
My buddy Keith is probably finding a bagel guy to come down.
Of course,
I like the bagel at Uptown Social. Oh my god, and it's amazing.
Jared, slap him right. And so Keith is probably like, oh my gosh, Jared said what? No, the best bagel in town is, you know, the Lower East. Oh man, but I think that no matter what you do for me, the thing that completes my order at any bagel shop is a Martinelli's apple juice.
See, the Martinelli's apple juice, my buddy is That is a pro order, and you're right, and they do have it, even though it costs like $30 for a thimble of it.
Exactly.
It is.
And it's like 6 ounces.
Yeah, people swear by that apple juice, and you're like, where are they getting the apples? Like, what are they doing to it? It's just an apple juice.
I hope you're listening, Martinelli's. I would love a case of
So, Jared, Austin has his beer company, King's Calling. I've got my pillows and Sewing Down South, and you have comedy. So what we've tried to do in all our episodes is give a little bit of advice on getting people started or how, you know, just telling people how we got here. And I guarantee you there's people out here listening that want to be a comedian or want to take their stab at it and are just terrified to start or have zero clue of how to start. So,
I mean, I'm on TV and I'm I'd be terrified to do stand up comedy.
Here's the thing. Let me start by saying everyone's terrified when they start. So like, there's nobody that's like the brave person. Like there's this like fallacy out there that like people are like, so did your friends tell you to do it? It's like, no, not one fucking friend was like, you should be a stand-up. That's not how it works. Like funny people.
My friends don't think I'm funny. So yeah, I had to do it on my own.
My friends are funnier than me. It takes, first of all, it's, you know, like there is work involved. It's not just something where someone was like you know, you hear those stories of like supermodels. Like I was found in the street. Like I didn't like say something funny to a producer and they were like, you gotta get on stage. It doesn't work that way. You have to go to open mics. And the first time I went on stage, I remember I was like, I thought I was going to be so good at it. So not nervous. I'm shaking. I couldn't even talk in the mic because it was moving so much around my face. And what I was doing, I was selling life insurance in New York City. And I was like, basically cold calling all day. And I was kind of miserable. It wasn't really the right life for me. And I was like trying to think of like what makes me happy. And again, that sounds very, you know, naive, I guess, but I'm 25, I'm 24. And I'm like, what makes me happy? And around that time was, do you guys remember like when people would send group emails? Like it was like you and your, instead of before group chat, there was like the group email, right, deciding what you were going to do that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I remember I
had one with, you know, my college buddies.
That exactly. It's like your college buddies. What are we doing this weekend? You're right. Ball busting. And I remember anytime I would write back to like one of those group emails, you know, making fun of people or making jokes, whenever someone would like go off the email to like email me directly and say, wow, that was fucking hilarious. That was the best I felt all day. Like I'm at my job trying to make money, trying to do well. And the only thing that made me feel good was writing a stupid dick joke to a friend and having them react to it. So I was like, how do I inject this drug into my veins every single day? So the goal became, I want to be funny for money. So if I'm to give people advice, is start broad, like, and then become educated in what you're doing. Become so, and look for mentors, look for people to give you advice. People love talking about themselves. People love giving advice. Don't ask for favors, ask for advice. Hey, I'd love to hear about what you do. So that's what I basically did. I went out and I did every open mic in New York City. I went and took sketch writing classes. I took improv classes. I invested money. I considered it my grad school. I remember every week I was submitting articles to websites with bigger followings, knowing that, listen, I got to get a following. If I can put butts in seats, that's all I have to do. So just in the same way, like if I can get people to watch my live stream and tell their friend that, wow, this kid that yells at The Bachelor is so funny, that gets me another person that I could hypothetically have come to a show and buy a ticket. So like I do the live stream for free every Monday night. I am putting out a lot of time into it. I do a YouTube show afterwards. Like this is, again, like you're just trying to get down to this larger goal of funny for money that turns into other things. So now, you know, I was doing stand up every night in New York City, and just as things keep progressing, you find new projects. And also my big thing was like, if it's not fun for me, I shouldn't do it because no one needs me to do comedy. So I shouldn't be miserable doing something that I really love to do.
Right. And so, a lot of things, it's like, just start and do not wait for anyone else to have your back with it. Cause people ask me, I mean, they ask me that too. And they're like, so who believed in you? And I'm like, I did. I was the only one that thought that this was going to turn into something.
That's the most interesting thing. You're totally right. And we've referenced our mutual friend, Keith. Keith owns Uptown Social. Keith has been the most supportive friend I could ever ask for. When I told him that I was going to be doing this, he was like, yup, do it. Do you need the back room for the bar to do a show? I remember I was 6 months into comedy. I'm going to put on my own show. And then the lineup, like that lineup that was on that show is like, you know, is crazy now. Like Keith, is like, can you believe those comics that we had on now? Like, you know, Michelle Wolf, Dan Soder, Mark Norman, Michael Che. These are all people that are huge in their own right now and are like, but they were in the back of Keith's bar because he was like, yeah, whatever I can do. Like, and I think what happens is you're never going to convince people until they see the wheels turning, because people then, like 2 years in, I would have people that were like kind of weird. Like, again, when you tell people you do stand-up comedy, when you tell people you're a comedian, sometimes the reaction is that they're offended. And I don't mean that they're not knowingly offended, but you could tell they're like, well, what, you know, when you, sometimes you tell people you're a comedian, they're like, that's so cool. I'm sure you guys get the same thing. Oh, I got a pillow company. Oh, wow. Really? Oh, I got a beer company. Oh shit. Really? And then some people react differently. Some people you go, oh, I'm a comedian. They go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What tell me, really tell me a joke.
Yeah.
What do you really do?
What do you really
do? I have a pillow company. Really? What does that make any money? Like they're right away in fists up mode. Those people you're never going to convince. And it took me a minute to realize that, but like, you know, the people will come to you, you know, and some people are later than others. I remember my dad, I told my parents, I'm leaving my job to be a stand-up comedian. I'm leaving my job to do comedy. My dad is a business person. So he always looks at things from the perspective of business. He goes, so you want to be one of the, at the time, 30 Rock was a big TV show and he loved it. He's like, oh, so you want to be one of the guys at that writer's table on 30 Rock. And I'm like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to knock on the door and be like, hey, Mr. you know, Lorne Michaels, I'd like to be on your show. Like, he's like, but he's like, okay, you, and his response was, you're young, you have no wife, you have no kids, you've got some savings, do it. Nope. That was his perspective. And if you work hard at it, his perspective was like, whatever this will be, it starts at comedy and it becomes whatever it becomes. But as long as your wheels are moving and you're doing all the work, you're not going to want to be unsuccessful forever just by human nature. My mom was like, what are you talking about? My mom, like not on board, didn't get it. And I think that, and not because my mom doesn't love me, not because my mom isn't supportive, because moms want easy answers for their friends a lot of time. Oh, my son's a banker. My son's a lawyer. My son, a doctor. Like those are easy answers where you look at all the other mothers and they go, okay, you did a good job as a mother. You know what I mean?
Good point.
It's true. And that's just a mom thing. And I get it. But I remember 2 years in and my mom would come to every show and she's a laugher. Like my mom laughs and loves just, I remember 2 years in, she's at a show and I'm bombing, horrible. And nothing is more embarrassing than bombing in front of your parents. And I remember in the corner, I'm just pushing through. I'm like, just get through the set, get paid, because it's all about doing like your amount of time. And I just hear my mom cackling in the corner. And like, she's dying laughing at the bombing experience, but also because she knows these jokes work. She's heard these before. And then I'm making fun of people in the crowd and her laugh is kind of pushing me.
Right.
And I'll never forget it. After that, she was like the biggest fan. Now she's like, how aren't you on every TV show ever? Like she can't believe it. And it's like, but it took her seeing like the hard work, the what goes into it, understanding like, oh, this is a job. This is a career. Like,
so it is funny that you say that because I can totally, you know, relate to it. And I'm sure that Craig, you know, can too, where you tell people what it is that, you know, you do. Mm. And then like, sometimes I wish I could give them just like a clear cut answer. Like I'm a lawyer, and then they're like, okay, cool. And moving on.
Totally.
Right. But like, if you have a certain profession and then they're like, oh, cool. What kind of beer do you make? Oh, okay. And where do you sell it? Oh, okay. And where do you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like so many questions and follow up. And sometimes it's like, you know, you ask people and they answer and then you're like, I'm not interested to find out any more details about what it is that, you know, you do. Thank you for telling me that you sell, you know, insurance for, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I'll save the attorney thing till the very end. And a lot of times I'll just go through the pillows and then I'm like, well, I mean, I'm also an attorney. And then they're like, well, why didn't you just tell us that? And I'm like, well, because that's not my primary job. That's not what I'm doing right now. Like, yeah, but it's cool. You're an attorney, so it's fine. And you're like, did you not hear anything?
Right.
What a dismissive
validation,
thing.
Right? Validation.
And that's totally a dismissive thing to say to you. It's actually a douchebag thing to be like, oh, but you're really an attorney. It's like, well, no, I'm putting my blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of my money and my future into this thing that I actually believe in. And it's like, that's why whenever I'm on flights, if ever I'm in public and someone asks me what I do, I say consultant. I always say consultant because everyone thinks,
that's great.
Say consultant because consultant's a job where no one knows what a consultant does.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks they should know what they do. So they'll just go along
means.
With you. Yeah. Well, they, and I just saw this, like there's a lot of like TikToks now. It's like, I'm an accountant. Like there's that song just say, when someone asks where I'm going, it's like a hot chick. And it says that she's saying she's an accountant. I've been telling people for literally 6 years that I do consulting work and they go, oh, cool. And we move cool. on. It's like game over. And it becomes that much easier.
Well, Jared, tell us just to wrap things up, and all our listeners at Pillows and Beer, you heard them, comment on the YouTube. Tell us a little bit about where you recorded it, where they can find it, and you know why they should listen.
So, all of your social handles.
I would just love everyone. I'm you guys are the best. Thank you guys so much. This is like I kind of bothered you to come on, and I.
Oh no, no, means, no! You were. It's fine. It's our pleasure.
It means the world to me.
I wish we could put this like on YouTube, so that like you know they can see us just like you know sitting here laughing.
We're not allowed yet.
Really?
Yeah, but the special actually comes out today. Like this is airing March 2nd.
So the special. So there's going to be a premiere tonight at 9 p.m. where I'll be watching with people, and then it stays on YouTube. So if you follow me on Instagram, I'll be linking to it at Jared Freed. You can watch all, if you're a fan of The Bachelor, all the past episodes are in my highlights. So there's already material for you to go watch and enjoy. The special is 9 p.m. March 2nd. It's on youtube.com/Jared Freed. If you search Jared Freed on YouTube, if you go to my Instagram, I'm going to be totally annoying and pushing it like crazy because let me tell you guys, I invested my money just like you guys. I am an entrepreneur just like you guys. And you understand like the problem I have is like, I tried to sell this special. Nobody gives a shit about Jared Freed. I'll tell you that right now. And in that world, they don't want to buy a special. So what happens is, and I have a lot of friends who have done this. We take our comedy specials that we put money into making. It's as good as Netflix. The quality, I mean, I hope you feel the material is too, but I can't speak for that, but I can say I'm confident in it, but it looks like a Netflix special because it was made to be sold to an HBO Netflix. So now it's just going on YouTube. And when I'm looking, my goal is for it to get 1 million hits so that I don't have to put it on YouTube the next time. That's the whole goal. So I'm going to YouTube to get away from YouTube. So I want everyone to make a night of it. 9 p.m. Tuesday, March 2nd. YouTube.com/Jared Freed. If you enjoyed or if you want to get it later, put it on that weekend. Make a date night of it. Make something of it. Get your boyfriend, get your girlfriend involved and put it on, airplay it to your TV. It's made to be shown on your TV. I think everyone's going to connect with it if they've connected with this conversation. Yep. But I thank you guys.
And that's Freed, F-R-E-I-D.
Yeah, if you type in Jared on Instagram, I'll pop up there at Jared Freed, but I appreciate Jared that. Freed.
I'm pumped.
Not Jared Freud.
Good, great friend.
Jared Freed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
this is my fringe friend,
that's
Freud.
That's a perfect quarantine activity.
This is background actor Jared Freed from Southern Charm.
Just like telling people all of the wrong socials. Just everything's wrong.
Well, thank you guys.
All right, man. Well, enjoy yourself in Florida. We're doing our stuff up here, and you know, we will hopefully be back in Charleston by the time you're special down there.
I'm gonna be in Charleston March. We gotta hang out. If you want to come to the show, March 20.
Nice.
No, we'll March March 30th and 31st. I'm doing two shows at Uptown Social.
Nice.
So if anyone wants to come, jaredfreed.com, I'll be posting tickets there. So
cool.
We'll be there. We got to hang. You guys are the best.
Totally.
Thank you.
Sounds good, dude.
Hey, man. Good to see you, Jared.
Say hi to the girlfriend and the parents.
Will do.
Good luck.
All right. See ya.
Hi, buddy.
If you sell stuff online, you're definitely in the right business. More people are shopping online than ever. That means a lot of orders coming in and a lot of orders that you'll need to ship out fast. That's why online sellers like you need ShipStation. No matter how much you sell, ShipStation makes it super easy to manage and ship all of your orders from all of your sales channels faster, cheaper, and more efficiently. You can import orders from any sales channel. You can ship with any carrier and access discounted shipping rates and automate just about any shipping task. You'll spend a lot less time on shipping and a lot more time growing your business.
Don't you use ShipStation, Craig?
ShipStation helped take sewing down south to the next level. It was everything that I needed as a solo entrepreneur, not really knowing what I was doing, but knowing that I had a great idea. ShipStation gave me the access to send all of my pillows to all of our customers.
So no matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, even if you have your own website, ShipStation funnels all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even on your cell phone. You'll even get access to amazing discounts with major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and USPS. Easily compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments.
It's no wonder that ShipStation has more five-star reviews than any other shipping software. Ship more in less time with ShipStation. Use ShipStation today. Just use our offer code PILLOWSANDBEERS to get a free 60-day trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in Pillows and Beers.
That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code Pillows and Beers. Make ship happen.
Make ship happen. Welcome back to episode 6 of Pillows and Beer with Craig and Austin. A plus C energy. Didn't realize what that meant when I was reading reviews. Now I'm really into it. I didn't know what the C stood for. Now I realize that's my name.
Totally into it. Totally into it.
My good buddy here, Austin, loves Harry Potter.
My good buddy.
And a lot of people in my life love Harry Potter. I remember, so one of my best friends and old roommate, Sean, from college, his sister would wait in line to get the new book. And she would read it in an entire night. And I remember Sean told me that Delaney read Harry Potter in an entire night, whatever one it was. And I was blown away by that. And then our employee party at the end of the year was we rented out a private theater and I went and watched the last one. I had no idea what was going on, but it hooked me. And with that said, the person that does know everything about Harry Potter, and if you ever need a Sunday hangover movie sesh, this is the person to do a Harry Potter marathon with, is Austin.
That's right, Craig. That was a good intro. I'm loving the A plus C energy. The A plus C energy. Craig didn't understand it at first, and I didn't either. But welcome to the AC show.
The AC show.
Where we will make you happy at all times, and you will leave smiling and feeling like our best friend, because you probably are. So, people have been asking about Harry Potter. Yes, Craig. And to those of you that don't like Harry Potter, I think you might be turned on to it.
I don't know if anyone doesn't like Harry Potter. I think they just don't know.
Okay.
Like, you know, I don't. I know, and, you know, I'll get sucked into a movie marathon, but I do know that you read the books, correct?
Okay. So Lauren in Baltimore asked me, Austin, as Craig already fucking rudely said, is it just the movies or the books as well? So let me tell you, yes, it's all the books. The movies are dog shit to me.
What does all the books mean?
I read the books. Okay. And now what it is more so is that I felt like I grew up with Harry Potter, right? So the fourth book is my favorite book. Harry Potter and the, God damn it, Nick, what is it called? And the Goblet of Fire. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Big goblet guy. Gobbler.
Shut up,
Gobbler
Craig.
Of Fire.
So because the Goblet of Fire was when Harry was about my age when I was reading it. And he had to go into this challenge set by himself because his friends abandoned him. Ron was like, you're doing this just because you want to be relevant, like you think that you're Harry Potter. So his best friend stopped, you know, speaking to him. Hermione was kind of like the back and forth, you know, between them.
Wait, this is amazing. His friend stopped talking to him?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. So
I want to read this book.
Yeah, so then read this book. So then it felt like I felt like I was Harry's only friend reading this book.
But was his friend justified in leaving?
No. Oh. He wasn't, because it turned out that he didn't put his name into the goblet. It was Mad-Eye Moody, who wasn't Mad-Eye Moody. You know what I mean? But like, it's you like plot twist.
You know what Mad-Eye Moody sounds like?
Mad-Eye Moody.
Scorpion. Mad-Eye Moody.
Okay. So anyways, so he literally put his name into the goblet. You're not supposed to be able to get into the... So
what happens if you put your name in the goblet?
Okay. There's an age spell, so you can't put your name into the goblet unless you're 17.
What does the goblet mean, Austin? I don't know actually anything that you're telling me.
The goblet chooses the champion from each school. So there are three schools that were participating.
What happens if you're the champion?
It means that you have the opportunity to
Austin also represent. Has his hand on my shoulder now, and I don't know why he's touching me. I hate being touched, and I don't know why he's doing
but
this.
But I can touch Craig. So it means that you're the champion of your school.
Okay. All right.
So imagine, like, you know, College of Charleston, Peasants.
So what, you got this book?
And, like, three other schools.
But how did you get the book? Did you order it online? You stood in line at a bookstore?
Yeah, I stood in line at a bookstore. stood in line at the bookstore. I stood in line at a bookstore at midnight and got the book and read it in about 28 hours.
That's what Delaney did. Sean's sister did the same thing.
And it was just so good that I reread it three times.
I've never written a book more than one time.
So good, Craig. It just
three times. Don't you remember what happened?
I cried once or thrice.
Why?
Because everything, like when Cedric Diggory died, it just broke my heart.
Who is Cedric Diggory?
Robert Pattinson, Craig.
No, just tell me what happened in the story.
Cedric Diggory was a Hufflepuff. That's who I identify with. And we're going to do another test because I am a Hufflepuff, but Cedric Diggory is a Hufflepuff. And he was like Mr. Handsome, Mr. Popular, Mr. Everything. And everyone dogs a Hufflepuff, but guess who was a fucking Hufflepuff?
Who?
Cedric Diggory. So everyone out there who's like, ugh, I just want to be a Gryffindor and I just want to be a... Everyone just remember Cedric Diggory was a Hufflepuff and he beat Harry Potter in one of the only games. Granted, the Dementors messed up Harry's game, lost to Cedric Diggory. Cedric Diggory was a very stand-up, class act guy, and his father, Amos, loved. He was like my only boy, right? Like, yeah, they were. He was his pride and joy, and Cedric Diggory got killed by the Dark Lord. In the fucking cemetery. It's all craziness. Like, right, you just watch you read it. It's amazing.
I will say one of our most popular live sessions during quarantine, which is what we owe.
Just wrote something in all caps, I have to say it.
So say I watched the first movie and got hooked and spent all day on the couch with you watching all of the movies. What am I missing out on if I didn't read the book? I mean, is there a massive part of this?
Everything.
Like,
okay. You're missing out on
so everything. Just by watching all seven movies or eight movies, you're telling me that I still don't know Harry Potter.
Every single movie is garbage.
Well, I don't think that's true.
No, it is. It's garbage. The fourth book.
Well, Nick agrees.
Is my favorite book. My favorite book I've ever read.
How many are there?
Seven.
You know, my grandmother, my mom, my dad's mom, my mom. I was fortunate to have four grandparents growing up until I was like 20, which is unheard of. My mom got me a signed copy of every book, and it's in my closet at home, and I've never written one page in any Harry Potter book. All right, enough of that topic. Amanda from Ohio. Recently, I've been watching Step by Step on Hulu. Oh, I love Step by Step, and love rewatching the old shows we grew up on. What were your favorite shows back in the day? I'm talking Nickelodeon, TGIF, MTV, Boy Meets World, Singled Out, Real World, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and all that. You get the point. I loved Step by Step. It's still my favorite intro song on any show. I am guilty of actually listening.
Step by step, day by day. Yeah.
First step over, different every day.
Okay.
The people we love, the strangers we date, will make it better. Second time around. Yeah, that brings me back. Love Step by Step. I was a big Urkel guy, Family Matters. So I remember on Friday it was Urkel, like Family Matters, then Step by Step. I used to look forward to that all week because I had a kind of early bedtime growing up. And on Fridays we could stay up and watch that. I was not an animated series guy. My brother watched Rugrats and I have a hatred for that. For some reason, I didn't like the animated stuff. I like Doug Funny. I would watch Doug, but Step by Step and Family Matters were my shit. What about you, Austin?
Wow.
Or good. Boy Meets World. Love Boy Meets World too. Taught a lot of life lessons, kind of him and
Topanga.
But what's funny is Craig Conover's in that show. There was an art exhibit that I get tagged in all the time, and it was an illustration, and at the bottom it said, by Craig Conover.
That's amazing. Boy Meets World. We all loved Life Lessons from Mr. Feeny. I mean, we all did. Like, it like made my heart kind of, you know, flip flop, where it was like Mr. Feeny just always knew best.
Well, it's funny, like, what were your, like, did you watch the cartoons?
Yes. So now getting into that, before the cartoons start, let's just say like Pete and Pete, Salute Your Shorts, like those shows were fantastic to me. You have Rugrats, you have Doug, you have Rocco's Modern Life.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch was great. I love Sabrina, but I didn't know there was a new one. You've been watching.
I'm watching the new Sabrina. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, it's actually awesome with Melissa Joan Hart. I dig it, and I will always watch it. Unfortunately, Craig, you and I are those kinds of people that, like, when we see sucker television on TV, like when I'm scrolling, like, I will watch it. Like, we have those shows and those movies and those things that we watch when we scroll. And
Party
will,
Wave? Are you a Rocket Power guy? Party Wave.
Totally.
Love totally. Party Wave.
Dude, you're such a squid and you know it.
I love it. I love
you're
it.
You're a squid.
So I will say that, and when I do go home and visit, because home is still my safe place, I watch Disney Channel stays on my TV in my room, and I loved the Zack and Cody shows, and there was one with the girls that were twins, but it was one girl.
That wasn't your generation.
No, I'm saying now that's what I watch. I watch the
Zack and Cody show. No.
No, but they're on the cruise ship.
The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody?
Yeah, that, and then...
Dude, that kid is on, like, you know, Riverdale now, whatever it's called.
Oh, jeez. Well, there's that, and then there's one where the girl plays a twin, but it's really just one girl, or twins play a girl. I don't know.
Is it called...
That was good. Question three. Alicia, not part of the social media world. Given all your pillow beer success, yes. Is there other achievements you'd like to accomplish here in the future, or any projects in the works? Oh, you mean like I'm a black belt in Taekwondo? Did you know that, Austin?
Craig has laid the gauntlet, and yes, I did know that, and I hate that I know that, because we've had a late night argument about your stupid black belt, but apparently it's true.
Yeah, I like that. But it didn't let me deal with the bullies, because I wasn't allowed to fight outside of class, or I'd get kicked out of karate. So
the bullies needed to get punched in the face.
Like, they should just get the shit knocked out of them, but I wasn't able to do it. It made me a better person, but they probably would have been better off if they got their ass kicked on the school bus.
Craig was a total registered weapon. He couldn't unleash his abilities on the modern world because they weren't ready for it.
Do we have new projects in the works? Yes, we're currently doing one.
Totally.
We have a lot of stuff going on. Craig, it's going to be fun.
I think that everything that we do is a new project. And yes, am I drunk? Yes, to answer my yes. I just think that everything that happens is a new project.
I mean, we shouldn't be shy about this. I would love to become a part of Austin's business, and we've talked about it a lot. We'll see what happens, but in a nice way towards him, I think there's a lot of potential to that business. I think Sewing Down South is going well, and so Jax
what a
is
modest
trying
asshole
to join Austin because what
I love really, how Craig goes. I think that Sewing Down South is doing well.
It is doing well.
It's yeah, I know it's doing well.
Well, that I want to bring
that
success.
That was a very modest way of saying so.
All right, enough of that. Now, let me ask you, Kelly from Pennsylvania asked, if you had to choose a celebrity to be your mom and dad, who would it be and why? That's actually, I don't know if it's a great question, Kelly.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Done. I just feel like they are such a couple. I don't even know if they've gotten married because they're not married, and they attribute their relationship success to not getting married.
Okay,
and
they tell everyone to fuck off that asked them.
Exactly, my heart told me that it was like they basically are that couple that's like we don't need to say this, like we don't need to get married to let y'all know that we've been together for 40 years.
Yeah, like we'd only be together for you.
Yeah, they've been together for 4 or 5 decades. Like,
it's amazing.
I'm glad I said it first, and I awesome. Jumped out on that. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
I don't think there was any first. I wouldn't have come up with that, but I 100% agree. My mind went to Taylor Swift, which is hilarious and embarrassing all in one. I don't want her to be my mom, but celebrity mom and dad, Austin knocked it out of the park with that. I think they're, I mean, if you choose any or chose anyone else, you would have an unhappy mom and dad. So I think that's the answer.
I mean, totally. You look at, let's just keep it at that, right? Because there's no reason to like knock anyone else's relationship. But the fact of the matter is that so many have gone and they've withstood the test of time without having to prove to, let's just say us, that they love each other.
All right, that'll do it for episode 6 of Pillows and Beer. Thank you again to all of our wonderful listeners and friends out there. You can find us on Instagram at Pillows, the letter N, and then beer. And also, obviously, Craig and Austin have their own. Now I'm talking in third person. We have our own Instagram accounts, and we love hearing from you. Thank you for submitting all of your questions and DMs of the week. We love getting to them, and we're going to probably entire special episode answering your questions. So continue to email us. Until next week, from Craig and Austin, this is Pillows and Beer.